interviewing Mary, July 8th, 1978.
Right, okay, let's just get statistics out of the way first, probably. Like, how old are you? You don't have to tell me.
28.
Okay. I will say that, and most people don't give a shit about telling you about
I'm not your age.
Some people are absolutely freaked out when you ask.
I'm not your age.
Have you lived in Buffalo all your life?
Born and raised here.
Uh-huh.
Right on the, well, yeah, on the east side too.
On the east side? Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. What area did you live in?
Well, when I was born on Northland.
Really? I was born on Butler.
I was born on Northland, and then when I was 3 years old, my family moved, and we went over on Alexander Place, and I lived there for 26 years. It runs between Ferry and, I mean, off of Ferry, between Jefferson and Purdy Street.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It runs from Ferry to Blythe.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And that's where I live for now. I live over on there.
I was born on Butler near Humboldt, and my aunts lived on Woodlawn. So, let me see. Did you live with both your parents all through your childhood?
Yeah. My mother, my father, my sister, and my brother.
You have a sister and brother. Your sister and brother older or younger?
Older. My sister just retired
from
the school system.
Oh.
Wow. And my, not here. She's out of state.
Uh-huh.
And my brother is still working. He retired from not living here.
What does he do?
That I won't say.
Okay. Right. Sorry. When you were young, well, first of all, what did your father or mother do for a living? What kinds of jobs did
My mother didn't work. My mother didn't have to work. My father would let her work.
Uh-huh.
She stayed home, took care of the kids. Mm-hmm. My father, well, he's dead now, but he worked in the post office for 30-some years until he retired.
Yeah.
Because there's a book out there on our family history.
Oh, is there? Mm-hmm. How exciting. Who did it?
My aunt.
Wow. That's really nice.
So this is my dad's hometown too. He was born and raised here.
God, that's really great. I know so few people who have ever had that kind of thing done. Mouse's family has a family history that one of her aunts has been doing for years, and they go back with me. That's really great. What was your relationship to your parents as like the youngest child?
I got along with it, as far as I know, with both parents, except my father and I, as I got a little older, we used to always argue.
Mm-hmm.
I argued more with my father than I would with my mother, because he was really strict on us.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, couldn't have dates, you had to go through school, after school you can have, you know, all the boyfriends around you want.
Yeah.
At that time, you know, and he was, he was only trying to look out for your welfare, but he was just a little, to me at the time, it was a little bit too strict.
Oh, yeah.
So I would always have to run off and do things, you know, I wasn't supposed to be doing, or, you know, you get intimate with guys. At the time, you got to find out, curious, why can't you be around a guy at the time, you know?
Sure.
And that's that. But no, I mean, I got along because mainly, I guess, because I was in sports, I was always a tomboy. You know?
Uh-huh.
And my father didn't care about that much, as long as I went through school.
Safer.
Yeah, you had to go through school, went through grammar school, went through high school, and went through 2 years of college.
Uh-huh.
And it's just the way he, I don't know, maybe it's just the way he was brought, because his family wasn't quite together when he was small. His father left, and, you know, they had to quit school early and help support the family, and,
mm-hmm.
and all. I guess he just made up his mind it wasn't going to happen to him.
Yeah. How'd you get along with your brother?
Oh, my brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like in her family, fought, argued, and
yeah.
being the smallest, they always picked on me or something. But see, they couldn't really touch me though when I was real small, because I had rumors that I had my bones, because I only weighed 2 pounds 6 ounces when I was born, and I wasn't supposed to live, but I fooled everybody.
Great, I'm glad.
And just like typical family. My sister, I guess I was closer to my sister. I used to do things with my brother, because I used to call him Bubba,
uh-huh.
you know, and I remember him and my sister for different things, but keep going on. I mean, by the time I started realizing anything, my sister was in college.
Yeah.
Then she left and she was gone, and my brother went into service.
Uh-huh.
When I was in my teens, you know, at the age where you figure. But when I was small, they used to wheel me around and take me places with them, and I knew no problem.
Oh, that's good. Did religion play a very big part in your household?
Well, we used to go when we were small. We used to walk over to Christian Science Church. We used to go to one over and which is still there, Elmwood and
North.
North,
yeah.
And we used to walk. My father, my brother, my sister, and I we used to go, and they used to go to church.
Like over there, you used to walk.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
And then we used to stop by the, like, you know, the fire station, and eat when I was small, and the fire trucks and everything. You know, get, I mean, just make it a Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning, yeah. Walk over there. Yeah, that's how far we used to go.
My grandfather was a Christian Scientist.
But I got out, you know, when I got older.
Uh-huh. Do you remember your first recollection of being different, of feeling different?
Mm-hmm.
How old were you?
I was in, oh, let me see. I went to YWCA camp when I was small. When I think in eighth grade, I looked my freshman year in high school. So about 14.
Yeah.
And I used to always want to be around this one counselor all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd follow her wherever she went or something, or do anything just to get close to her, or just anything to ever yell at me, just so I know that she knew that I existed.
Right.
You know, and then also when I was in high school, I used to stand in the doorway to watch this one senior girl walk by all the time, just waiting for her.
Uh-huh.
And same thing when I got into college, I used to wonder, but it goes way back to this, I was 13, 14.
Uh-huh. Did you have any kind of word for what you felt then?
No, I didn't know.
You didn't know what all that was?
Mm-mm.
Did you know that it was different from what other girls were feeling your age? Did you ever talk to anybody about it?
No. I just felt that way, I just didn't know, you know.
Did you think everybody felt that way, or?
I really didn't think anything of it, I just, at that time, I would just, you know, end up wanting to be around somebody,
yeah.
And wanting, you know, well, I've been with guys before, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, as you're small, like, girls will fool around and everything, but I just didn't want that, you know.
That I just wasn't interested.
No. I just would always want to be around, you know, around this one counselor, all the chance I could. Like, we used to have campfires, and I'd go sit by her.
Yeah.
Or else, you know, try to sit. Like, you sit on the sand, you know, legs, I used to sit in between her legs and with my back up against her just to be sitting that way, just to be around her.
Uh-huh.
And I, her name was Peggy, I always forget. But, that was the first recollection I can ever have.
Uh-huh. When you got into high school, did you go out on dates with boys?
Well, I told you my father wouldn't let me.
Uh-huh.
So,
he wouldn't let you, like, even weekends, even like
right.
That.
We just had to go through school first.
Uh-huh.
And the only time I would have, like, gotten contact with the guys is in the summer when I go out and play and,
yeah.
You know, fool around, we'd go swimming. Or if I would go to the store and some guy would meet me down the street, and then the minute they started down the street with me, they saw my father sitting on the porch.
Did
and they meet me right there, and I end up going home by myself.
Yeah.
But
did you have, like, any kind of romantic relationships with guys later in high school or college or anything?
Yeah, I had one with the guy, but, you know, at that time, I guess you felt that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Sure.
You're supposed to be in love with the guy, and
yeah.
He liked him, and, you know, sure, when I was in my junior senior prom, the guy I went to prom with.
Uh-huh.
I'd always go over to the house, you know, a chance I could get to get away, I'd go over and his house, because the family lived right near us.
Uh-huh.
All his relations, all that. But I used to go over to his house.
Yeah.
It's called Mo. That's where I went. But,
mm-hmm. And you didn't think that, did you think that that was, the feelings that you had for him were any different from the feelings that you had for the girls that you were interested in?
Well, I probably just didn't think, I really didn't.
You didn't separate
think,
out.
No, I didn't think anything of it, you know, because at the time, it was different, like you could get around, whenever I could get around the guy at the time, you know, you felt good about it. But because
yeah.
I was always around the girls,
uh-huh.
You know, I mean, I just didn't understand why I always wanted to watch this one senior go by or,
uh-huh.
get it close to anybody, but in high school, but it wasn't until when I got in college where I started getting a little closer, and I still didn't know what was happening.
You still didn't know?
No, you know, some people just don't know that.
I didn't know till I was really older.
I mean, because my roommate in college, my first year there, I was a freshman in college, right? I walked in to the dorm, I was in my room, and this girl walked in, her name was Shirley, and she was really tall, so I was in one side of the room, and she walked in, she started putting her stuff in, I looked at her and said, why don't you come on over here? I said, I'll take the lower drawers, you can take the top one, I'll take the upper bunk, you can have the bottom bunk. And just for that, by my opening up my mouth, she came over and we started, you know, we became good friends, and the 2 years I was there at college, and the next thing I know, I was hugging and kissing. I just told her, you know, yeah. I used to put hickeys in her neck.
Uh-huh.
And she let me. But we never went any further than that.
At the time that was going on, did you know the word lesbian?
No. Because you didn't know, it wasn't really said too much about it. Until, well, once in a while it would be brought up, you know. But when I was in school, when I was in college, I was supposed to always been a leader.
What college was it?
Blackboard.
Oh, yeah.
Back in 49.
Yeah, right.
50, rather. I was supposed to been a little gang leader of the dorm, you know. Mm-hmm. So, nobody ever thought anything about it, because we ran out, we were in sports, and nobody just brought the word up because, you know, if anything was going on with anybody else, it was never brought up. Nobody paid any attention to it, you know. And the group that I was with, in the dorm I was with, we didn't have any problem. Mm-hmm. Nobody said anything. The guys would come to pick up their dates in, and the girls would always hang around the girls. If anything was said, it was really never, that I can ever recall, it was never brought up.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when you first knew the word, when you first knew what it meant?
When I was in the service.
Yeah. When did you go in the service?
I left college in 51, I went in service in 52.
Mm-hmm.
And
Army.
Air Force. And then it was brought out in basic, because two girls couldn't sit on the same bed with each other. Or you couldn't be seen dancing, two girls couldn't dance together.
Uh-huh.
And all, you know, and that was brought out then, little by little, but you know, like I said, it might have been mentioned before in my life, but I just didn't,
right.
You know,
make
an impression on me until I started, by this time, after college, my time I got in the service, when I really wanted to be around girls, you know, and would even sneak down the hall or, you know, try to be around, well, not so much in basic, but, because in basic you had too much restrictions, you know, you're trying to get orientated into service life, away from civilian life, you know, your mind's got to be changed, and the restrictions that you had, you more or less kept, you know, you were being watched on, you know.
Yeah.
Constantly, so you just had to kind of be careful what you do, especially after basic, you know. You be around people, and girlfriend, you just wouldn't do anything, you know, because then you hear about investigations they would have. But then when I got out of basic and I went down to Mississippi, to regular school, all right?
Oh, Biloxi.
I was in Biloxi, Mississippi. And that's when it really came out, more so then.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then that's when you really started finding that girls were being together.
Uh-huh.
More, you know, because as I said, basic was too restricted. But by this time, you're starting to have a little more freedom. Yeah. You can get off the base and come back onto the base. You know, you can do more or less things that you wanted to do. And because where I was at the time, the period of time that I was in the service, it was hard on blacks, you know, because being in the South. So I couldn't really go too many places with the kids off the base, so I had to stay more or less on the base. And so you end up getting friendly with the people. And I wasn't with anybody, but I used to see I knew the kids that were with each other. And by this time, you got educated to what was happening, you know.
Mm-hmm. Why'd you go in the service to begin with?
Because I wasn't going away from home.
I was to leave.
22 years old, and I just didn't have the guts to go off on my own at home, so I just went in the service, and it was a lot easier.
Well, it's a safe way to do it.
Yeah. I just went off. You know, I didn't have any job or anything.
Yeah.
And so I just took off, and one day without telling my folks that when I was working the first year of college, before I went in that 1 year, I was working at A&A's, Jane Addams, it was called at that time.
God, yeah.
And I was working there, and I was working at, I worked there for a while, then I left and I went to Hangers. Mm-hmm. And they used to have a warehouse in Washington. I used to work in that warehouse in Washington. All those buildings are gone now. Mm-hmm. They're up in the, mm-hmm. in the housewares department. And I used to take a walk from work, and I walked down to the old Ellicott Square building. Mm-hmm. It's, and I used to talk to the recruiter down there. And the next day I took the test, took my first call and everything, and then by the time my folks knew anything about it, I was over 22. Mm-hmm. And I had passed, and so I was accepted in the service, so I'm there. Went in 52 to 55, and then I re-enlisted, and I came out in 57.
Uh-huh. Oh, I forgot to ask you what you were taking in college. What were you going there to be?
Phys ed. Uh-huh. I wanted to be a phys ed teacher.
Yeah.
It was something I've always wanted to be, ever since I was a little kid.
Sure. Why did you stop college?
Well, I had to stay home a year. At that time, when I was going to school, if you couldn't keep your marks up, they would ask you to stay out of school for a year.
You know,
get yourself together and everything, and come back. And so, while I was home, it's the tension between my father and I was working, you know, as I told you, I was working. And that's when I just decided, because I'd been in Civil Air Patrol when I was in high school for 4 years.
Oh.
And out of the 4 years, I just got interested in it, you know, what I learned how to. Well, let's see. I learned about airplanes, let me put it this way, because, you know, about flying. Mm-hmm. And I used to fly in Piper Cubs. I used to go to weekend encampments and stuff, you know, not, you know, close by the airport here in Buffalo. And we used to go to schools, used to go to the Massachusetts Army or, you know, for different drills and different, and I was in parades and stuff, and I just enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And I just got that military bit, I guess, embedded in me in a sense, and I, because by the time I decided to go into service, I wasn't lonesome or homesick at all. It didn't bother me.
That was about the time Korea was going on.
Yes, I was in during Korea. Because at the time I was in, see, when I was in the service and everything from basic, from Biloxi, Mississippi, I was at Newburgh, New York. And when I was at Newburgh, I used to...
Newburgh's up near...
Newburgh's just north of New York City. It's near West Point.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay. Yeah.
And while I was there, but Newburgh, that's when I really also after, see, after radio school, all right, I got out of radio school, then I was sent, I came home, and then from home I went to Newburgh and I was stationed there. Mm-hmm. And that's where I really had freedom. And then, you know, and you still put on the front, you see guys and everything, but that's when I ended up getting close, really getting close to another girl.
Yeah.
I mean, by this time,
you knew what was going on.
Yeah. And, in fact, she was the first one ever touched me at the time, you know.
Really. This was in radio school, down in Biloxi?
No, this was at Newburgh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. If you were transferred.
Yeah, because I was around people at radio school in Biloxi.
Yeah.
I was around the kids, and I knew that I had no relationship of my own, but I had one when I got to Newburgh.
And how old were you then? 23?
Well, I was about 23 years old, almost 24.
That's what I came
into. Yeah, well, I had to be 23 going on 24 because I had just turned 23 when I was in radio school.
Yeah.
It was around Christmas time because that's when I was in radio school.
Mm-hmm.
It was 22 and then the following December I turned 23. And then the next year when I was stationed at Newburgh, I was 23 going on 24 years old. Because I stayed for 3 years, the first hitch, and that was, I was 25, so I was 2 years in Newburgh.
Uh-huh.
That's where I was stationed at for the whole time, because I was radio operator, because I had gone through radio school, and everything got me, you know, and I had to work teletype and all this, you know, we had to get that in, but more sending code messages, you know, back and forth by radio. That's, and then I stayed there, but that's the first relationship I ever had with a girl.
How did it happen?
That's a good question. I don't know. We just, yeah, I don't. She was already there. And these kids have a tendency to feeling you out. They seem to know when somebody new comes on, they know if you are or if you're not, or whether you could be or, you know, you don't want to be. And I just got, because Mary, I don't even know if she worked with me or not. I don't think she did the same thing I did, but there's just something about her that I just got to know her. She was in my barracks. I was down one end and she was down the other end, and I just started with Jack. you could always pick out somebody you could talk to, you know. And the next thing you know, we never did anything on because we lived in cubicles. In cubicles, there's no bottom, no tops, and just a little small space. You know, your conversations could be heard anywhere, so you had to be kind of careful. So, of course, now this was just go off. You know, there was another girl. There was a group of us because we played softball. All those little tomboys got together, and we were all on the same team. You know, we made the team, and she would be around us, and that's, we'd have to go off base and everything, you know, someplace. But it really didn't go really that that far, you know, by touching it. You know, it's just like little kids, little boy, the girl would sit on the couch and they fondle each other, you know. And that was just all with her. It was my first.
It was your first physical experience, but it wasn't like ultimately.
Right. And that didn't happen until I left there. I had re-enlisted, and I wanted to go overseas, and I couldn't get by the chance to go out to California. So I was stationed out at Hamilton Air Force Base in California. That's above San Rafael, right? And it's, again, that situation when you came in, we had like a U-shape for the barracks. The mess hall, and then barracks on either, you know, coming down like a U, because the one end of the, well, I'm not using the mess hall as a barracks, but it was at one end. Well, it could have been an O, but eliminating the barracks, the mess hall, you come up, you have barracks this way, one at the bottom, and then street down on the other side. Mm-hmm. And so there were a lot of girls living there, because we had 1, 2, 3, 5 barracks, all 4 girls, you know, and we're up on top of a hill. Mm-hmm. And of course, guys are around us too, so they used the mess hall at the same time. We all did, but you know, because we were in a certain squadron, like 43rd Communication Squadron. And then we ended up, meeting listen, Pat, I can't remember this. All I can think is McFarland. I can't remember her first name. Anyhow, I met this girl, and she was the first one that really introduced me completely. Because the first night ever happened to me, I cried. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know why I felt like this or why I was letting her do this. I was scared, but I wouldn't stop her. You know, because the next night, it happened again, and by that time, hey, that was it. Uh-huh. Then we didn't last, you know, it was just, I met her, she met somebody else, and I met this girl, Pat, that I ended up going with. Uh-huh. Until I got discharged. Yeah. In fact, we both got discharged together.
Did you hang around with a group of women there?
The softball. Well, see, again, I played softball, basketball.
And they were all gay.
Right. Most of them were. Uh-huh. And we just more or less just had our own little group that we just hung around with. Yeah. You know?
Was that a racially mixed group?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, there wasn't that too many blacks in my squadron.
Yeah.
Anyhow, the girls, but like ones were, you know, the ones that played ball that were on the team and everything. And it was more or less like the ball team would hang around together, but anybody that was gay, you know, like I had my own room, I became a barrack sergeant.
Yeah.
And I had my own, well, I had room, but I also had a private room, right?
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have to have a roommate. And I used to have a TV, and the kids used to come in my room and go on my, you know, watch my TV and sit there, gag the door, who they wanted to, and then naturally, of course, anybody I was with, they could come in my room too. And, you know, but it's kind of hard when you're sleeping on the cots together.
Yeah.
Those army cats are not very big.
Very tiny. When you finally came back to Buffalo, well, okay, I guess I'd like to know a little bit more about what Army life was like for somebody
very hard.
Discovering.
It was very hard, very dangerous, and it was a hardship on me, you know. I'll tell it even though this is not, but it's just, be careful, you know, because I got discharged, right? I got undesirable.
Uh-huh.
And they started an investigation on the base. First they started with the guys. And see, they were really down on this, because at nighttime you could be sleeping. They used to get pass keys and come and spy on you. I didn't know what was going on. Yeah. You know, I mean, half the time they came and spy, you two of you'd be sleeping anyhow.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're in the middle of doing anything, anybody start messing around your door, you're going to know about it. And we used to wonder what was happening when everybody, you know, the guys started an investigation, with, you know, they started with the guys, called the OSI, Office of Special Investigation, and they started with the guys, and next thing you know, a few kids were called. Well, even before that, when I was in, stationed down in Biloxi, one time I was up in Newburgh, this is also what made me know what was really going on. They came up in Newburgh and was asking me questions about kids down in, in Biloxi. Did I see this or did I know this? And found out one of the girls that was supposed to have been one of the, it was an automobile accident, we thought was just a woman. She turned out to be a lieutenant that was set down in ranks to spy on the kids, you know. And at the time, I couldn't tell them nothing. So that's why I more or less kind of kicked my nose clean and you had to be careful. But when I got to California, you know, you get
got
involved and that's it. Mm. And then they started on the girls and they got Pat, the girls with. And she just told me that she kissed me, right? So fine. So when they questioned me, they told me they were going to question me all day long, 24 hours a day if necessary, and they were really going to dig into me. And, you know, hey, I wasn't going to give me information if I could help it. I wasn't going to say anything. Mm. And all they did one day was ask for a priest. And would you believe you thought I had asked for $1 million, I guess, or something, because the one of the officers came in, told me I was shit, I wasn't worth walking on the ground, you know. Really, it was, I mean, this is what they would say things like that to you. I just get you angry or something and see if you, and I still wouldn't tell anything. So I finally just told them about Pat and myself, you know, because they wanted to know about everybody else on base. Well, I wasn't going to tell them anything about anybody else on base. So I told about Pat and I had to go see a psychiatrist. And they started this bullshit, you know, with the psychiatrist bit and all this. And they sent the word back up that I was supposed to get discharged. Yeah. And with some of the kids that stayed on base, never got caught or just, they made, it was maybe, like I always feel, that they left them on base for an attraction to see how many more they can get.
Yeah.
You know, like a magnet, that they would come to you and then we could, maybe they didn't know that that's what they're being used for, but not again, they could either, you know. But it just happened and then I ended up getting discharged and Pat and I,
Pat was discharged too, the same way.
Well, yeah, but I got off base before she did. Okay. And then the girl that caused all this trouble was a master sergeant. And she was getting out, and they had sent word around that if they can get her off base before noon, they were going to kill her. Kids were. Because she was the one that was going around spying and telling on everybody. So, you know, we got discharged. And it was hard at the time because it was near the end, you know, still part of Korean War, near the end of it. Well, yeah. 57, it was over with, but it was just the idea that it was hard on us. You're walking around the base and everybody would buzz, 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 you know. And I had no money, no money they gave you. I had a car. So I stayed in San Francisco for a week until Pat got discharged with this one girl that I used to go with, and she was with another girl right now. And I stayed there to change my life over to, you know, and they tried to help me adjust. And by this time I was really in the game life, and that's all I wanted, you know. Be around girls, and that's where I stayed.
Yeah.
So,
did you live in San Francisco any length of time then?
Just 2 weeks. Then I was heading for home.
You came
back. I know my parents knew, you know, they didn't know why I was really getting out. And so Pat and I drove across country together.
Yeah.
And we stopped, and then we stopped to visit some friends in Omaha. And then I went to her home. Mm-hmm. And we even left then, wanting to be with her, and I couldn't.
Yeah.
Because her father, first of all, didn't want me in the house. Not because of gay, but because I was being black at the time. And he
she was white.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he didn't. But the second night, he let me stay there. But I couldn't sleep with her. Yeah. I was sleeping on the couch, you know. So then I left her the next morning, and I headed for home. I headed for Cleveland. I stopped at Cleveland with my sisters, and I stayed there for a few days. And I think I told my aunt what had happened. And the only thing she said, the only thing wrong with you is because you've never been to bed with a man. You know, or something. You know, that's how they feel.
Yeah.
You know?
I know.
So then I left her and I came home, and I don't even think my mother really understood everything was going on, but they wanted me to go see a psychiatrist, and I told her no.
Yeah. What was your reaction to your aunt's feeling that you should go to bed with a man?
I can't remember. I really don't remember. I remember that much of it.
Did you think about it at all? I mean, that there might be any truth in it, or did you just dismiss it right away?
I probably dismissed it. I just didn't. You know, but think of a solution. You know, here I got discharged from service, and, you know, what was I going to do? You know, I had to go home and face my parents and mom. But all my father did was, 2 days later, he chased me out of the house and made me go look for a job. He didn't, you know, didn't go and said, well, that's a way you can kind of forget things. You just go out and find a job and work. And
did you, when you got home, did you talk to your parents about?
I didn't talk to my parents so much anymore.
Uh-huh.
I didn't go into detail with it. You know.
So you never just...
Well, they knew about it, but they just didn't... We just never sat down and discussed it, because I never really talked to them. I always talked to outsiders more than I talked to my parents.
Yeah. But they still accepted you back in the house. As far as they were concerned, you were still okay.
I was right. I got back in the house, and I went out and I worked. Mm-hmm. And, let me see. I worked from 57, 58, I worked at the City Service Cab Company.
Where?
That's how I got to meet Rich Pat. Andy.
You were a driver?
No, I was switchboard. I was sitting at the switchboard one day, and the light lit up, and it was coming from Bingo's, and they asked for a cab.
Yeah.
And...
I don't want to lose this. Yeah.
They asked for a cab, right? So... I don't know what even made me get in that conversation with them on the end. Oh, I know it was, because they were surprised it was a woman on the other end.
Oh, yeah.
Because all the men had always answered, you know.
Dispatchers.
Right. So then they turned around, and next thing you know, the light that's, you know, lights up again, and I answered the thing again. And I started talking to, and I think I was talking to Gene Gunn.
Oh, yeah.
And found out that Gene and I had been in the same branch of the service. And, you know, different, and then I'm trying to find out where the bar was, you know, because I was going to go down and meet him, not knowing what kind of bar I was going to go into right away.
Well, but you knew that you knew her. Or
well, we figured we knew each other because we'd been in the service together.
Right.
We just started.
So you were just renewing an old friendship, not
right.
Really looking for a gay bar.
No, because I didn't even know that there were any bars. All I was doing, trying to get friends. You know, I needed to find other people, you know, meet people. So next thing I know, they tell me how to get there. Well, I hadn't been in Buffalo for 7 years, in and out, but not really the drive, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find Bingo's, and here I'm going up Mohawk, 2 hours direction. And traffic's coming towards me, and I thought it was still a one-way, you know, two-way street. So it took me 2 weeks before I could find where Bingo's was. And after I found Bingo's, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I get off of work at 1 o'clock, in fact, I used to, from the cab company at Spring and Genesee, I used to take my lunch break, get in my car, go down to Bingo's, have drinks, you know, on my hour break, turn right around, get back in my car, go back to work,
mm-hmm.
And at 1 o'clock, I go right back down there and stay there until the bar closed. And that's how, as I said, I got to meet Butch Pat, I got to meet Andy,
yeah.
Norma, that's in the wheelchair.
Oh, yeah, Norma.
Black Jan.
Yeah, got it.
Was it Dusty?
Oh, Jesus, yes,
right?
I haven't seen her
in
so
long. I'm trying to, I can see, I'll be down.
Was Bobby out
then, Prius? I don't know, Bobby, R, this woman, R.
Oh, yes.
R.
I haven't seen her in a long time.
I haven't seen her either. The two that live in Canada now, they call her Shorty because she's real tall, Shorty, and, I can't even think. They live in the States, but the one is from Canada, but she works here now. Oh, I can see them.
Gabe and...
No, I knew Gabe. I met Gabe and Dee.
Yeah.
They're around, but no, this is Shorty, but she's real tall. Her name... Oh, and what's another one? Mary. The other one's Mary. It's out. She's... Mary doesn't... I know Mary's been gaining weight lately. She's not the same as she used to be. Not much the same as they used to be. But this is always...
Crazy Mary.
Well, yeah,
it's
one,
the same
property, the one that's around now.
Okay, I know.
Yeah.
One,
well, she was all right then, but, you know, she just changed. I don't know what happened to her, but who else? I can see that the kids in Canada used to be in there constantly.
Uh-huh.
There's one that works up in the club and...
The Blue Jay?
Yeah, and St. Catharines.
Oh,
the 5 o'clock in St. Catharines.
I don't know.
Oh, shoot, I know her name as well as I know my own, and I can't say it right now. Because I'm trying to think too fast.
Sure.
But that's where I was. I went there, and I started going back and forth, and It's just the idea that there were, I was around girls that I wanted to be with.
Yeah.
And who was the one that, no, there's another one. I can't even think of her name. She's with a girl right now, and she, I got to know her real well when I got to know Andy and them, because her, she looked more like a man than she did a girl. And she goes with the girl now. In fact, they still play the part of man and wife, and yet the people don't know that it's a girl to this day.
Who's that heavily? Is she still into that kind of heavy role play now?
Yes, because they're together. They've been together for years. She doesn't, the girl that she's with won't let her out anymore either, and I can't think of her name.
Well, there's Circus Bobby. She's pretty heavily into role play. There's,
I knew Syracuse Bobby.
Yeah.
But this one, they don't see him. They don't see this couple anymore. They don't really come out too much anymore. They like to, well, the one girl that likes to come back.
Short.
Short,
chunky, and was really short.
Yeah.
I know who you mean. I don't know her name either, but I know who you mean.
She don't see her anymore because
she does look like me.
Yeah, well, she told me that her father wanted a boy, and they used to tape her with a ace bandage or something.
The parents?
The parents did that to her just because her father wanted a boy with her.
Good grief. That's amazing.
And I can picture her in my mind, but I can't.
Yeah, I think I know who you mean. She's short and chunky,
yeah.
and and wears suits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Has to wear suits. And in this day, the girl she with, she goes and picks the girl up from work, and everything, and a lot of people that work, where the girl works, and that's her husband.
Yeah.
And so until they go out to a bar.
Yeah, it's really weird. That was like the first gay bar you were ever in?
Yeah, well, from that bar, then we had the, Rick Morelli had the Bingos and Mardi Gras in Chesterfield.
Right.
See, and I didn't know, I finally found out that there were other bars, because I finally ended up about the 5 o'clock club,
yeah.
Johnny 68, the Oasis.
Yeah.
And Carousel was going at the time too, the old one, and then I didn't go until they moved over in Ellicott. But I didn't want to go in the Carousel from Bingos, because the kids would go back and forth, because I was told at the time to kill them like blacks or something, or didn't want them in there. And I never went in there for a while until, who was it? Jan and Marie. God damn. Jan met me at the door and took me in.
Uh-huh.
And Seal. It wasn't Jan, it was Seal.
Okay, yeah, Seal.
And that, you know, I won't say too much about her, but that's the one that,
yeah.
That met me at the door and took me in the Carousel for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And I used to go between Bingos and the Carousel.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually a lot of girls just left Bingos and all went down to the Carousel on Ellicott Street.
There were very few black women in the community then, right? In that particular community. But it seems to me that there was a black gay community that was going at the same time.
I really don't know. There were... I can't... See, I'm hard on names, remembering names.
I remember there was a bar on Cherry Street.
No, that was an after-hour joint.
Oh.
That was the corner of Cherry and Hickory. Was an after-hour joint, and it was right down the street from one of the houses. That's the only thing. But there, no, because most of the black girls have always come to Bingos.
Oh.
And they were, you know, at the Mardi Gras, you know, in the same area where everybody else was. And this one girl that everybody really cared for, it was Ann. Ann's still around to this day.
Yes, I know Ann.
Yeah. And there was one that was a singer that everybody used to go on William Street to listen to sing. They used to have a show at the place began with an M on William Street, the Mandy's or something. We used to go over there, and it was a show that this girl put on, and that everybody really cared about. A lot of girls used to chase after her, you know, and there were quite a few in the beginning that I knew that when I first came out, these girls were already out.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just got there.
They were already in, so the community was racially pretty mixed, even
well,
though
not,
it was more...
You know, it was more white than were black, but it's just that, well, at the time they didn't use the word black, but it was like...
The language changes,
you know,
like everything
colors,
else.
You know.
Yeah, sure.
But anyhow, I can see some of the girls, and I just don't remember their names.
Uh-huh. Well, I think probably Willie was around then.
Yeah.
And Eva Robinson was around then,
right.
In and Out. Eileen was around, because she and Mary had a real long relationship, even though Eileen was still with I named vacations. So I remember a whole lot of movies around then.
I knew there was a bar that a lot of black girls used to go to that was, yeah, because it was on William Street someplace. But it wasn't, you know, I don't know if it was really gay or not, but that's just where a lot of them hang up, and they would all come downtown eventually, you know.
But that bar was predominantly a black bar, even though it was strange. Probably straight,
yeah.
Or mixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it seems like the black women went from a straight bar in the black community to a gay bar in the white community,
right.
And back and forth. Yeah. It's interesting because it seemed like later, a few years later, they really developed kind of a black lesbian community that was sort of independent. People knew each other from both communities and sometimes went to parties together.
Well, they did, but you know, because I was Marjorie told you in the interview, but the idea about the time that the Senate, I guess it was the one on Rhode Island Street,
yeah.
The big, when you had when they had that big fight.
When Mackie lost her eye?
Yeah?
When
Mackie
lost her, yeah.
And there was a black community then going there because, but see, the only thing was happening then is a lot of girls, they said, were jealous because their dates, they would bring in, you know, be dancing a lot of white girls, and they just, at that time, this is when, they were starting, around the year when they were starting to be a little friction anyhow going on, you know, because I think it was just before that, 63, 60, when all that trouble started flaring up.
Right, when the black liberation movement started really making a hold.
And then we started having all this, you know, it was just like an...
It was a little while.
Okay. No, it was just...
All right.
Before they had the disturbance.
Yeah.
In Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
And it seemed like around that time, everything was just all up in the air.
It was real tense.
You know, right.
Yeah, I know the woman who was involved in that fight, God, what was her name? She's dead now.
You mean the one that put the Mackie's eye out?
Yeah.
She said she stood up on the table like a maniac.
Yeah. God, I remember her so well, I can see her face. What was her name?
I can't remember her name. See, I...
Bobby would remember, she knows everybody. But, yeah, I remember going to visit Maggie in the hospital. I should get hold of her for this,
She's up in Canada.
Is she?
At Catherine's. I have her address at home.
I'd love to write to her. I'd even go up there to tape her. You know, is she with Kelly still?
I don't think she's... Kelly was supposed to be here. And then somebody told me Kelly was dead. Now, I only heard this recently, so I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't seen her in so long. But, no,
that's why. If I seen Kelly's here and Mackie's up there by herself.
Oh.
She was with some girl by the name of Donna for a while. But that's not as with somebody else. Well,
anyhow. Yeah, changing tell me something about, like, role-playing that went on in the bars at the time. I mean, here you came out of a couple of relationships, but was there role-playing in those first relationships that you had?
Well, everything was, at that time, well, I even go back to the service. I can go back, even when I was, it was always one-sided. Somebody would touch you, but you, at that time, they never wanted to be touched.
Oh.
No, it was always, they got the relation just the same way, you know, I guess,
mm-hmm.
as long as they were bothering, you know, making love to somebody else, they just didn't want to be made to them, and
uh-huh.
It was, yes, there was a little role play when I came, and...
You know, when you came to the Buffalo Bar?
Yeah, when I came to Buffalo Bar, there was really a big role playing, because
yeah.
They had... You know, well, even the service, there was a few kids in the service used to wear the DE haircuts.
Yeah.
In fact, one girl got away with wearing the DE haircut plus a brush top, brush cut on top.
Wow, that's really heavy in the service.
Mm-hmm. Better believe it. But she just didn't hide anything. Everything was just her haircut and actions were all out in the open. You know,
uh-huh.
Everybody. But you know, they used to. Well, role playing really came out in view to me when I came home.
Yeah.
You know, that's
what you do. What'd you think about it?
Well, I used to think I was a big bad butch, and I wasn't. See, that's the only trouble that I had because I was a tomboy. I played sports a lot, and anybody that was in sports was supposed to have been,
yeah.
Being, you know. Well, that's, at that time, you liked it, really. It was just something that you'd do, you know, where you would end up being with somebody, and you'd sit down, you know, they'd pick you up and they'd take you out on a date. Yeah, to sit there. The only thing with me, I didn't like it because I could never sit still long enough for anybody to pin me in. and you had to ask permission to dance with somebody, and you had to be careful. That's when all the girls used to fight quite a bit. Because they didn't want anybody talking to the girl they were with, or if the girl got up and was dancing with somebody without their permission, then they would get mad.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it now.
Okay. They would get mad, and they would wonder, you know, they would start thinking that somebody's going to run off with somebody, and that's when you say, Bingo's had a lot of scuffles and arguments and fights, but like, you know, that's how someone got all these big names like Butch Pat and Andy turned out, you know, to be a Butch, and then Black Jan. It was just a role that the tough guy role is what it was like in those years, really. It was just something that they played and
did you feel when you came into that community that you sort of had to make a choice?